In fact, from all indication, it will be most likely a two-part lesson. And I beg you to make a commitment for your own spiritual health and growth that you do not miss any part of the lesson. If you want to title the lesson, you may title it The Divine Priorities. Know them. The Divine Priorities. Know them. Put another way, God's better than. Know them. That is the passage which was just read, is that the Almighty God in that text addresses the subject of both righteousness and disobedience in a comparative way. Some act of righteousness are better or more important than others. Some act of disobedience are more terrible and sinful than others. It's important that we know them. But while, you know, I said, well, this more relate to the part of the lesson next week. But let me just state it now, because it's a part of the lesson that needs to be stated many times. And that is, the mistake that God does want us to make, is that once we have arrived at where we understand God's priority, what are those things that God considers more important than some other things? The Almighty God does not want us to engage in a terrible mistake where we say, well, let me see now. God says this and this and this. Let me see which is the important one and do them, and I can disregard the less important. No. Passage in the book of Matthew from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself going to indicate that you do not only do the important things, you do also the less important. We'll be emphasizing more on that point next week, God's willing. God's divine, or rather, the divine priorities, know them. Much of our religious and spiritual effort will be in vain. Did I hear Brother Mitchell right? Yes. Much of our religious and spiritual effort will be in vain due to ignorance of Jesus Christ and ignorance of his will. Lot of the men and women who end up in hell, religious people like we are, it will be as a result of men and women who have been going to church for umpteen years but remain ignorant of God's nature, what God wants, what God requires, what is important to God, and also ignorance of God's will. That ignorance, not lack of putting out religious effort,
but not putting out enough. Not trying to. The brother prayed this morning that God will help us to spend more time with His Word. That is important. In fact, in the lesson, Jesus, the Almighty God, in the passage, that the lesson will revolve around, the Almighty God, through the mouth of Samuel, placed a lot of emphasis on listening. Hearken means to listen. Ignorance, did you say, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Many of us will be lost in hell in spite of putting out religious effort because we were still ignorant of God's nature, what is important in the sight of God, and ignorant of His will. May we just look at a few passages on the point of ignorance? Let us run first to Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 6, Matthew 15, 14, Matthew 22, 29. Quick.
Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast...
Remember how Matthew 15, 14, Matthew 22, 29. These passages form just a part of the introduction of the lesson. And remember, the lesson is relevant to each of us. We don't want to be people who put out years of effort. And on the day of judgment, Jesus Christ says, "Depart from me, I never know you." Ignorance, not knowing God, not knowing Christ and His will. You know, the Bible talks about people who are ever learning, but they still miss the point. May God help us not to be among those. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse
6.
Six.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
God is speaking through the prophet. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing. They don't know. For lack of knowledge. Now listen, the Almighty God further speaks on this subject.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
It's not because knowledge is not available. It's because we are too busy, because we have our priorities mixed up. We do not go to the source of knowledge. We don't have time for it. Are we suffer from self-deception? I know it. Or it's not that important. Because they have what?
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee.
Everybody get that? God, you're going to reject me simply because I don't know. Further, because I don't put out more effort to know, that's what the passage is teaching. Because you have rejected knowledge. Well, why so much emphasis by the Almighty God on knowledge? He knows that without... Well, back up, Brother Mitchell. God knows that you cannot guess how to serve Him. God knows that more than we do.
And God knows that without knowledge, we are going to be doing hit and miss. That's it. And there is a lot of hitting and missing in religion today. Knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. Because you have rejected God's directive. God says, I'm going to reject you. Can you believe that? The verse finish?
No. That thou shalt be no priest to me.
Thou shalt be no priest to me.
Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God.
Do you notice where God hit us? Was it last night? I was on the phone with somebody and, you know, the point was, and those of us who preach and teach must make sure that we spend all the necessary time and prayer on God's word. That's right. Are we there? Look at Matthew 15:14.
Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind.
Do you know what the word blind? It was not referring to physical blindness. It was referring to leaders who did not know God's truth, who were not enlightened with God's truth. They were blind. You see, you need God's word to enlighten you. Those of us who lead cannot properly lead if we do not have the light from God's word. That's right. So listen to the master himself. If the blind
and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Don't make the mistake, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that if I misguide you, mislead you spiritually, religiously, morally, I'm the only one going to end up in hell. Don't make that mistake. If you follow my wrong leading, wrong guidance, and my guidance, it was sincere, but I just didn't know. I was not enlightened. Sincere, yes. And you follow in a sincere way because you want to serve God. God says both of us going to end up in hell. Because you see, the Almighty God does not accept any compromise when it comes to serving Him. That's right. You'd imagine that the merciful God would reason and say, well, you know, they really want to serve me. And that desire is important to God. That wanting too. But God didn't reason and say, well, they really want to serve me, just that they were misled. No. You suffer the consequence just the same. If the blind, that is the ignorant, lead the ignorant, only the lead are going to fall into the ditch of hell.
Both shall fall.
Both! Shall. Are we there? Look at Matthew 22:29. And then Romans 10:1-3.
And Jesus answered and said unto them,
uh-huh,
ye do err, not knowing the scriptures.
Stop there. This was on the subject of... Wait. And Jesus Christ was addressing the religious leaders. Huh? Yes, on the subject of the resurrection, which also touched on the subject that man has a spiritual soul, that the dead are raised. Is based on the fact that even after death, man continues to live. So they come asking Jesus Christ, wanting to trap Jesus Christ. You always have people like that. Once you set yourself up as a teacher, there's always somebody out there feeling they know more than you. And while teachers do not know everything, they must make sure what they are about. They must put out effort to know what they teach. It doesn't mean that anyone will ever know all, but make sure you know enough. You do err. He was talking to the leaders. You do make a mistake, and you know what is your problem? You do not know the scripture. We need to know the scripture.
Amen.
They come. But God, you see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And it surprised the length that men and women will go to overthrow a truth which they do not accept. That's right. So they want to make Jesus Christ the fool and the idiot, the ignorant. Christ, you know, it's you, Christ, who are in problem. Because if the resurrection, if men and women will be resurrected, then you are going to have some terrible quarrel and probably fight in heaven. Here is an instant Jesus Christ. Here is a lady who married, the first husband died. She married the second time, the second husband died. She married the third time, the third husband died. Now all of these husbands, including her, they were all people of God. Now, you see something wrong with your teaching about the resurrection Christ, because when they are resurrected, and those three husbands come claiming the one wife, you know, sister, you are going to a problem in heaven. Jesus Christ said, your problem is you make a mistake. You err. You are off mark. You are off track. Because all that you have read, you still do not understand the scripture. And when we do not understand the scripture, we make all sort of mistakes that endanger us. You see, those of you who can be in Bible study on Wednesday night and tell yourself you don't need to be here, may God have mercy on you. Truly. You don't know what piece of knowledge God wants to pass on to you to help guide your life. You do err not knowing the scripture. In the resurrection, there was the marriage are getting into marriage. We will be like the angel of God. That shows how important it is that we be enlightened people. Romans chapter 10.
Brethren. My heart's desire and prayer.
My prayer for Israel is
that they might be saved.
I want my nationality to be people who obey God and stand up being saved on the day of judgment.
For
I am a witness to the fact that they have a desire to serve God,
but not according to knowledge.
That's the key. That's the key. You cannot serve God any and any way. Religiousness and religiosity is not serving God. Zeal, religious zeal, is not serving God.
Amen.
You need God's word to guide you into serving Him properly. Because if we don't serve God properly, it is in vain. In vain they do worship me. They are worshiping whom? God, Christ, but it still will not bring them any reward. Why? His word was not taught. They were using for their doctrines the commandments of men. Romans, we are still there.
Verse 3.
For they being
ignorant
of God's righteousness
and going about.
Wait. It's important that we are enlightened and we have knowledge in respect to how God is going to make us righteous. That's important. Not how you feel, what you like, but how God planned to make us righteous. And you know what? The passage is implying that God has revealed that. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, you notice ignorant of. And the implication here that they should not have been ignorant of God's righteousness. The implication here is that you need to know God's righteousness. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish
their own righteousness
have not
submitted themselves unto the righteousness
but
of
you
God.
You cannot submit to God's righteousness if you do not know it. What are you on, Brother Mitchell, that the reason for many, we are not sure, you know, brother. You can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and chapter 5, 17. The reason for many of us going to end up in the eternal hell is not because we did not put out some religious effort. It's because we were ignorant of the simple will of the Almighty God. Let us hear the passage of Ephesians chapter 4.
Verse 18.
Chapter 4, verse 18.
Having the understanding darkened.
Having their understanding
darkened.
Everybody got that? Brother Fisher. Jonathan, it's not that they did not have knowledge on other subjects. Probably these Gentiles, non-people of God, non-Christians, that were under consideration here, were enlightened men as far as the world was concerned. As far as secular things were concerned. As far as science then was concerned. But you know what? Their understanding was darkened when it comes to the will of God. Read, brother. Having
the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God.
You see, when we do not know the will of God, we are separated from God. Because it's an enlightened understanding that going to bring us in obedience to the will of God. What I find in two passages, watch here now in these two passages, found in two different books of the New Testament. One is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, and one is Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Verse 9. Let us hear Ephesians 5, 17 first. What you find is the two passages written to two different congregations found in two different places. The two texts are saying the same thing. What? Read.
Wherefore, be not unwise.
Be not unwise.
But understanding what the will of the Lord is.
May I? Are we there? It's important that we understand what God's will is. I mean everyone. Don't make the mistake in telling yourself that Brother Mitchell, all that is your stuff and the brothers who preach and teach. No. It's your stuff too if you have a soul to be saved. Because you must know the will of God for yourself. And it must be so important to you that you spend time with God's word. What it says there, brother?
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Now, that's to the church of Christ at Ephesus. Now, listen now, Paul writing to the church of Christ at Colossae. Chapter 1, verse 9.
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Isn't this wonderful? That you might be filled with what?
All wisdom.
Knowledge of His will. This book was not written to a preacher. It was written to the congregation. That we be filled with the... That we know His will. Are we there? May I? Throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, there is a divine truth that is emphasized and should be known by the people of God. Did the bird distract you? Well, let me go over it. Throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, there is a divine truth flowing from Old to New Testament. And it is emphasized in Old Testament. It is emphasized in New Testament. This truth should be known by every child of God. This truth comes out plainly, dramatically, in King Saul's sin and Samuel's rebuke. Now, the rest of this lesson and into next week's lesson, we'll be looking on a few points. Here, let us turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 18 through 23. Let us hear the passage again.
And the Lord God sent thee on a journey and said...
Wait, ladies and gentlemen. This was after Saul's sins. The prophet Samuel, who had anointed him king, came now to rebuke him. Let us hear it, brother.
Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.
The Almighty God gave you a plain, understandable command. Go fight the Amalekites. Totally, not partially. Consume them or destroy them. There is no ambiguity about that. Read.
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God.
Stop there. Dear brothers and sisters, mark you, in today's lesson, we are not going to reach the point, the main point of the lesson, that is, the divine priority. Are we in our effort to serve God, there are some things that the Almighty God never ever wants us to minimize. The Almighty God wants that there are certain things that we must always recognize how important those things are. We're not going to reach that point today, so don't think I reached there yet. I'm still just dealing with some preliminaries here. Now, one of the preliminaries is found in verse 10 and 11. Watch here now.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king.
God says, it repenteth me. I am sorry that I have set up Saul to be king. Read.
For he is turned back from the following me.
He's turned back from following me. Wait, brothers and sisters. You know why this is so relevant to us? We are dealing with a situation here where Saul had sinned grievously.
There it's on.
Saul had sinned grievously and terribly. But Saul did not recognize it. So much so that even when God's prophet came and reminding him and showing him the proof that he sinned, Saul did not recognize that he sinned. This has relevance to us.
You're at verse 11?
Yes.
Read verse 11 again.
It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me.
Could you ever tell Saul that he had turned back from following God? No, as we are going to see. Our presumptuousness can blind our eyes. Read on. That's verse 10 and 11.
Verse 11. And hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night.
Are you all there? Samuel was in mourning all night. You see, Samuel had God's business at heart. And he felt that Saul would have made a good king. To hear from the Almighty God that God had rejected Saul, it grieved Samuel. The man did not sleep that night. He mourned that night. Step down to verse 28, brother.
Verse 28.
8.
And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day.
God has taken the kingdom of Israel out of your hands. That's how grievous this sin was. Wait up. What is the point? Saul had sinned grievously and terribly, but was entirely, and I said, entirely unconscious. Are we there? Of having done anything wrong. You see how important it is that we understand the will of God? It is. Because this happens quite often among us. So Sometimes a person's sin is obvious, conspicuous, when you are dealing with the Bible. And there is no way you can get over that person that you have done wrong. What that person doesn't realize, that attitude like that only multiplies sin. What's all now? To show you that the man, look at verse 13.
Verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him,
Samuel the prophet came to Saul.
Blessed be
Saul said to the prophet, blessed be thee,
thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
You notice, even before God's prophet said anything to him, the man was so sure of him. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The man was so sure of himself, he's the first one to say to the prophet, I have done what God asked me to do. Watch here. Read that, the verse 13.
Verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of this?
May I? The evidence that you have sinned is blatant. Oh, come, what's wrong, Saul, that you can't see? What meaneth the bleating of the sheep and the hollowing of the cup? In other words, have you carried out God's command? There should be no sheep and cow around. But Saul did not know, had no consciousness that he had done wrong. Verse 19-20.
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But this fly upon the Lord, upon the spoil, and this evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel,
Watch here now.
Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord.
Even when the prophet is showing him that there are sheep and cows around, taken from the Amalek camp, tells us that you did not do what God said. The man was still insisting that he had done God's will. Remember, this is about us, you know. Are we there? And all of what we are seeing here comes as a result of presumption and ignorance. We need to know the will of God. We need to know the scripture. Don't be ever reading and not come to the knowledge of His will. You're not finished, brother.
I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me.
He's still insisting. That is common today. We must take learning and take one. Are we there? Same today. That's the end of verse 20.
No, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek.
But here again, the man's own mouth condemning. The man's own mouth condemning. I brought Agag, the king. That's the king of the Amalekites. None of the Amalekites should be saved. Next week I'll be dealing more in analyzing the plainness and the simplicity of God's command. How plain it was. There was no room for misunderstanding. But Saul misunderstood. Huh? What he said there?
And have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.
Mm-hmm.
But the people took of the spoil.
Wait. Do you see what I see here in verse 21? Ladies and gentlemen, get this. To attempt any of us to excuse sin only compounds sin. You notice where he's throwing the sin? The people. The people. It's a common thing for us to find ways to excuse our sin. May I? What we must learn is that we must always learn that we have to face up personally to our sin. Don't ever even think or try to find excuse for your wrongdoing. That only gives you compound interest on your sin. It makes you stand worse in the sight of God. Saul was the king, the leader. May I? If the people had made a decision to take some of the sheep. Read verse 21 again.
But the people took up the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed.
Who did it?
The people.
Who did it?
The people.
Where was the leader? Leadership is important in God's business. When the people make wrong decisions, the leader or leaders are placed there to help give them guidance. That's why in the Christian home, in the church, do you notice that even in secular society, the Almighty God placed leadership? That's what we call civil authority. That's what we call government. That's what Romans chapter 13 is about. That the power that there be are ordained by God. And the passage goes on to tell us that the order in society, government was placed there to make sure that there is order. And we must respect that authority. People like the police, the judges, the soldiers and civil servants, they are just servants of the state. When they give commands that are right, we are to obey it. God expects us to obey it. Because in everything, God wants order. The people. Wait, brother, take time with me now. Men have always found ways to excuse their sin, not realizing that whether they know or not, that only compounds sin. He that covereth his sin shall not, and that is, the cover there means he that fail to accept and own up to. Huh? May I? If the people made a wrong decision, Saul should have done something. He was expected by God to do that. He is the leader. But you know what? Saul found it difficult to act in ways contrary to the wishes of the people. He was a weak leader, and that's never good. It's never good for the cause of the Almighty God. It's never good
for the people who are being led, are being guided. When the leader cannot stand against criticism, the people made a wrong decision. Saul should have told them no. He could not act in ways contrary to the wishes of the people. Saul preferred popularity than duty. Leadership is responsibility, especially in God's business. A true leader cannot be a tool, a rubber stamp, or a slave of the people. Truly, truly, a true leader cannot be a tool of the people, a rubber stamp of the people, or a slave of the people. We are still at verse 21. Because, like so many men and women today who like to find excuse for their sin, they find either direct or indirect ways to blame others. Here we have a group. But Saul is not the only one. Run to the book of Exodus 32, verse 21 and 23. Run there quick. Exodus 32, 21 through 23.
And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this speak unto thee?
Wait. Moses came down from the mount where he went to receive the oracle of God, the Ten Commandments. And when Moses came down, he saw the Israelites, including Aaron, their leader, worshipping an idol. Are we there? Oh my God, how could this be? The great Almighty God had just miraculously led the children of Israel from Egypt. How could they turn to something that their hands made? Do you see Moses' question? What did the people do to you? Did they walk up your path, you? That's the idea, you know. They must have drunk you, intoxicated you, and walk up your path, you. And it must be a good idea for you to agree with that. Read on, brother.
What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?
Are you all listening? Read on.
And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot.
Let not the anger of my Lord. Remember, Moses was his brother. But he shows the necessary reverence for the leadership role of, let not the anger of my Lord grow hot. Read.
Thou knowest the people.
Wait here again, brother Webb. The people. The people. Brothers, those of you in the church, make sure that as you get involved more in leadership, that it does not come one day when you can blame the people for their unfaithfulness, because that leaders cannot compare. Are we there? And many things. But when the people make decision where you are in a position to take a stand, even when you stand alone, if you are not the type of person, you see, there are so many of us, it is peace at any price. God doesn't want us to be that kind of leaders. If you cannot stand alone, and people in the church beg you to become leader, turn it down.
Yeah.
Please, I beg you. The people. What he said there?
thou knowest the people.
Moses, you know how headstrong these people are. Yes, they are headstrong, but take a stand. Read on.
That they are set on mischief.
Oh, Lord. And probably Aaron, you know, was lying. The Israelites were terrible people. That's right. Oh, my God. They are set on mischief. Well, that's all the more reason. You should gear yourself that when they turn their feet out of the way, you can tell them you are going the wrong path and it will not be accepted. Read on.
For they said unto me, make us gods,
mm-hmm.
which shall go before us.
Uh-huh.
For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt,
uh-huh.
we want not what has become of him.
You know this, brothers and sisters. Now hear the man condemning himself. May I? In almost every instance where we find excuse for our sin or try to blame others indirectly or directly, we only compound our sin. Because when he said, the people said, make us God, and Aaron, you yield to that? Eh? You yield to that? Aren't you further condemning yourself? When we try to excuse ourselves and not face up to our personal sin, that's what happened. Are we there?
And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off.
he's going to join in with them in making them their God. The people.
So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf.
I didn't even make it. I just throw the gold in the fire, and I see this calf come out. You notice how we compound our sin? Because pure lime, I tell you now. That's right. Every time you see a brother, and we have seen it in the church, want to imply that it's somebody to be blamed. They don't want to face up. They only compound their sin. And a lot of times, we are so ignorant that we cannot see. Aaron, like Saul, did not recognize that he was only pushing himself deeper in hell. Are we there? Brothers and sisters, may I, as I wrap up, remember, the voice of the people is not the voice of God. You see, this is a phrase you hear in politics and in social circles. That means when you have the majority of people speaking on a subject, you must yield to it because it is the voice of God. May I? That might be so in politics and in social setting, but when it comes on the will of God, relating to God, the church of Christ, and God's business, the voice of the people is not the voice of God. I further have some news here. The voice of any church leader is not the voice of God. Unless that church leader speak as the oracle of God. Only then is this voice the voice of God. And we must remember that. Majority does not hold in God's business. We cannot shift personal responsibility when dealing with God. Adam and Eve did the same thing. Adam should have owned up to yielding to his wife. His wife should have owned up, Eve, to her yielding to the serpent. But Adam, the woman who you give me, God, is the one who made me sin. The woman the serpent made me sin. We do the same thing. We must remember that when we fail to own up to our sin, we only compound it in God's sight. Leaders work with the people, but the focus must always be on God. Are we there? We are going to end here. Remember what I announced about that pivotal truth. Divine priority. That there are some things that the Almighty God wants His people to always be mindful of and never to sacrifice those. When we come back next week, to obey is better than. But wait. God, aren't you the one who commanded sacrifice? Yes. God, isn't sacrifice over which you reject Cain? Yes. God, isn't sacrifice over which you burn up Nadab and Abihu? Yes. God, isn't one entire book, the book of Leviticus, dedicated and is about sacrifice? Yes. But to obey is better than sacrifice. Don't miss next week's lesson, and I beg you to make plan to bring somebody with you. God's priority. We as God's people need to know that there are some things in God's will that are so important, we must never trample on them. We must never miss them. In fact, I was about to throw out another passage found in the book of Matthew. But let that passage stay until next week. In the meantime, if you are here today, notice, to obey is better than to do what? To obey? Yes. Have you obeyed? Are you here today and have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's nothing you can do with God or for God that is as important as obedience to His will. Right now, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, your Savior, then take the other step by repenting of your sin. That is, making a resolve to turn from your sinful, disobedient ways and turn to the righteous ways of Christ, if for no other reason than the fact that He paid the price for your sin. There's no way you could pay for your sin. There's nothing within your ability or power for you to have done to address your sin problem. But you know what? The Almighty God loves you and cares for you. He sent Jesus Christ. So you must repent as a result of that belief and acceptance of Christ. But when you repent, you are not a child of God. You must move on to a willingness to confess belief in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. You are still not a child of God when you confess Christ's name. Now, the problem is, all the sins you have committed over the past many years are still there with you. When you repent, they are still there. When you confess, all the sins are still held to your account. To get those sins dealt with, you must be baptized. You know, the Bible says it, repent and be baptized for the removal of your sins.